And I want to just look, just a couple of thoughts. I don't want to take too long this morning. All right, Romans chapter 1. Let's turn there, Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. And maybe before we read anything, we'll pray, ask God's help this morning. But Romans 1 is where I'd like to just take a couple thoughts in just reflection of the last week, and maybe with some preparation for the rest of your life. All right, let's just pray first, ask the Lord's help this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, and Father, we're thankful for every camper here this morning who's been a part of this camp. And Father, we dare to believe the Holy Spirit has touched the lives and hearts of many, and that there will be a work that will continue which will bring glory and honor to you. And for that, we want to give you thanks. We want to give you praise. And we appreciate you letting us be a part of that. As we just look at some thoughts this morning, Father, I pray, stir us once more. Lord, may something be said that would cause us to consider not just what we've learned in this camp, but what you want to do in and through us as we move forward for you in this journey. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 1, if you found that in your Bibles, I want to read from verse 8, and down to verse 16, verse 8 through to verse 16, and I want to look at four things. I will just make them brief, but four things. Verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. That's a good thought right there, isn't it? Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, who was hindered, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 8, first, I thank my God. I want you to think about the journey that you're going to have with the Lord. And I want you to understand that it's an absolute privilege. First, I thank my God. Why? Because it's a privilege. You know, to be able to do something for the Lord ought to be seen as a privilege, not as some hard task. Paul didn't say here, look, it is the way it is. This is what I signed up for. And this is just the right thing to do. So you just got to do the right thing. Now, there are some times in life where you've got to do the right thing because it's just the right thing to do. That's the reality. That's part of life. You've got to be disciplined. But you know, it's so much better when you can come to that place in your heart where you see it's an absolute privilege to do anything for God. A few years ago, I felt that God had called me to be a pastor. And I'd candidated at a church, and they said to me afterwards, look, sorry, it's not going to be what we're looking for. And there was a process getting to that point where I didn't want to do it, and yet I got to the point where I said, Lord, if that's what you want, I'll do it. And then God says, I don't want you to do it. And I was devastated. I thought, well, what was the whole point of that? And for about 6 years, I really struggled. And I thought, well, Lord, I believe you've called me to preach. I believe you've called me to be a pastor. And what are you doing? What's this whole process? And I just didn't understand it. And I remember talking to a fellow. I'd never met him before. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. He was a friend of a friend. And I remember sitting down with him once at a table. And I told him my life. And he was a preacher. And he listened, and he listened, and he listened, and he listened. And one of the things he said to me, which changed the way I thought about it, was he said this: it's a privilege to do something for the Lord. And I went away and thought about it, and for a period of time there, I didn't know how to kind of respond to that, but I was able, by God's grace, to come to a point where I said, you know what, Lord, if all I ever do is clean toilets for you, I'll count that as a privilege. That'd be a privilege. And you and I need to understand that what God has for us in our lives is an absolute privilege. Doesn't matter what it is, but it's a privilege. Never forget, it's a privilege. Now, you might say, well, I've got to do it because my parents tell me to do it. I've got to do it because that's what the church says, and I've got to do it because it's the right thing to do and all that kind of thing. Forget about that. You're doing it because it's a privilege. It's a privilege. I don't want to go through this whole passage. There's a lot in this passage. I just want to draw a few things out of it. So, number one, it's a privilege. And in verse 14, it says, I am debtor. Number one, it's a privilege. And number two, I owe. I owe someone. Yes. To be a debtor means to owe somebody something. Now, if somebody does something for you, let's just say that I did something for you, whatever it might be. I don't know, something simple. Let's just say I gave you an opportunity to make some money or to get out of debt or whatever it might be. I did something for you that really helped you. How would you feel towards me? How would you feel? Well, I'd hope that you'd feel like you owe me something. Now, you don't owe me anything. Don't get me wrong. You don't owe me a cent. But I'm just trying to use this as an illustration. When somebody does something for you, there's a sense of gratitude. There's a sense of debt. There's a sense of I owe them for what they've done for me. Let's think about this in light of what God has done for you. God sent His only Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world to die for you. How can you pay that back? How can you pay back what the Lord Jesus has done for you? You know, people look at Christianity and think, man, who'd want to be a Christian? That looks like hard work. That looks like there's lots of things you can't do. That looks like life would be miserable. Do you know it's quite the opposite? When you look at it from the perspective of a debtor, what you owe, and when you consider it in the light of it's a privilege, it oughtn't be a hardship as a Christian to go to church. It oughtn't be a hardship to read my Bible. It oughtn't be a hardship to pray. It oughtn't be a hardship to want to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I'm a debtor. I owe so much that I could never pay back. You and I, if you're saved, you're a debtor. You're a debtor. You've been bought. You've been paid for. And you owe. Now, you'll never, ever, ever pay back the debt. But just because you know you can't pay it back doesn't mean you oughtn't try the hardest you can to try. Because you and I are debtors. Paul said, it's a privilege. I thank God. I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all. He said, this has been an absolute privilege. He said, but when I consider the debt I owe, it's the least I can do. It's the absolute least I can do. You know, there's people in this room, we won't mention anybody by name, but it's cost them something to run this. They've had to invest their time. They've had to invest some of their money. They've had to invest literally some of their life into this. That's the reality. And I know as young people, as a young person, I didn't see that. I didn't appreciate that. I didn't understand why mum and dad did what they did and what the pastor did what he did and people in the church did what they did. I thought that's what you do. But you know why they do it? is because they feel a debt. They owe. They owe God and they can't pay it back. And they're going to do the very best they can to show that they want to. You'll never pay back God. And He doesn't expect you to pay Him back, but He does expect you to serve Him. He does ask you to serve Him. You know, you could look at it in the light of, well, yeah, he's done that for me, but you know, I can't pay it back, so what's the point? I'm just going to live for myself. That would be like someone who gave you something in this life, maybe your parents, an opportunity in life, and you're able to succeed and do really well out of it, and then when the opportunity come to thank them and to show appreciation, you said, oh, well, I worked hard for it, it's my thing, it's... You know, sadly, we live in a day and age where everybody's entitled to something. You know what? You and I are not entitled to anything. Do you know what we're really entitled to? Do you know what we've paid for or earned? Hell. That's what we deserve. People say, it's not fair. I don't deserve this. No, that's true. It's not fair. You don't deserve that. You deserve a whole lot worse. You deserve hell. I deserve hell. Even as a Christian, I deserve hell. Because there's nothing I can do to keep my salvation. I am kept through the power of God. And the least I can do is to show that I appreciate the debt that was paid on my behalf, and I want to just pay it back if I can. I can't. But I'm a debtor. I'm forever in debt to the Lord Jesus Christ. My entire life, I'm in debt. It's a privilege. I am a debtor, and in verse 15, so as much as is in me, I'm ready. I'm ready. You say, what was he ready to do? Whatever God wanted him to do. Do you know, as a debtor, we should understand that we offer ourselves with no strings attached. Well, I'll do this for God if he'll do this for me. I'll do this for God if he'll do that for me. But if he doesn't do this for me, that's when I stop doing something for him. No, you're ready to do anything. Paul wasn't going to an easy situation here. Paul wasn't looking at a holiday at a resort with being served upon and all those kind of things. He was looking at hardship. Do you know that Paul was executed in Rome? He was executed. That's where he had his head chopped off. He says, I'm ready. Whatever it is, I'm ready. Doesn't matter what it is. It's been a privilege. I'm in debt, and I'm ready. I'm ready. And then verse 16, I'll finish with this. It's not long this morning, for I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed? Is there some things that you don't do because you'd be ashamed that if somebody saw you, they'd say something about you? Is that the way we live our lives? Well, I'll do it at camp. I'll read my Bible at camp because my friends are reading their Bible at camp. It's so much easier to do at camp, isn't it? I'll sing the songs at camp because everybody else is singing the songs. And I can sing because everybody else is. It's not so easy to sing in your workplace, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. It's not easy to sing at work, is it? It's not easy when you're sitting at work with all of your mates or at school with all of your mates and you're sitting around a table with lunch in front of you and you bow your head over your lunch and you give thanks to God for the food in front of everybody else when everybody else is looking at you like, you're weird. What are you saying? I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of him. He's done everything for me. I owe him everything. The least I can do is mention his name at school when I pray and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the food. You know, that's not easy sometimes. It's not easy. I've been on job sites before with all the rest of the tradies, and they're all tough guys. They're all guys who are man's men as far as the world's concerned. And when you've got to sit there and you've got to open your lunch and you've got to bow your head quietly and just for a moment pray and give thanks, that's not easy. You say, have you done that every single time we've had lunch? No. I've got to be honest. Sometimes it was real hard. I remember a few years ago, I was working with a fella. First time I'd worked with him, I knew about him, but I didn't know much of him. And I had 2 days' work with him. And this fella was a popular guy. He was involved in all the sporting clubs, in different sporting codes, different things. And guys spoke highly of him. He was easy to work with. He was a nice guy. And anyways, he was a concreter. Concreters are rough and tough. They really are. And I was prepping up a house slab with him to pour the following, I think it might have been the following day. So we're digging out the footings, we're laying the mesh and the plastic. That was the first day. By about lunchtime, I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it. He had a filthy mouth on him. And he was blaspheming. Now, when somebody swears, as a tradesman, I'm used to that. I don't like it, but I'm kind of used to it. But this guy was taking the Lord's name in vain, and he was cursing God, and not in some nasty way, but just in some disrespectful, irreverent way. And at about lunchtime, I pulled him up. I said, Ben, I need to have a chat with you. He said, yeah, no worries. And, you know, he's all casual and everything else. And I said, look, I said, I don't want to offend you. I said, but some of the language you're using is offensive to me. I said, I don't really appreciate the way you're talking about my Lord. I said, that hurts. And he looked at me and he said, I'm really sorry about that. I'll try to do better. You know, about 3 years later, he came along to my ordination service. He did. He hugged me afterwards and said, I'm going to miss you. Now, I don't know if he's saved or not. But sometimes you've got to stand up. You can't be ashamed of the Lord. It's not easy. It would have been easy to say nothing. It would have been easy to say, oh, well, that's just the way he is. He can do what he wants because he's not saved. Now, if I want to get along with him and I'm going to work next to him, he's not going to be able to do that around me as long enough to say, sorry, I can't work with you. Now, you don't need to be offensive about it and you don't need to be nasty about it, but you've got to stand for the Lord Jesus. Why? Because you're not ashamed of him. I am not ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he wasn't ashamed of me. When the Lord Jesus came and died for me, he wasn't ashamed of me and I was just a dirty sinner. I did things that he would never be able to do, and yet he still came and died for him. He wasn't ashamed of me. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus. It's a privilege. I'm in debt and I'd do anything for him. Young people, this is what you need to establish in your journey. You need to look at your life and say, you know what? If God wants me to do something, I would count it a privilege. Nothing would be too hard for me. I'd just do anything I could. Why would you do that? Well, because I'm in debt. I'm in debt to him. I'm in debt because of what he did for me. I'll never be able to pay him back. I'll never be able to even the balance. It'll always be in favor of him. I'll never even come close. And I'm ready anytime, anywhere. Doesn't matter. I'm in. And I'm just going to do it out of sheer love for Jesus because I'm not ashamed of him. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. He's done everything for me. And I just want to, there's just a small, I suppose, devotion. It's not preaching. But there's some thoughts that might be a help to you. Because when you leave this campsite today, a lot of those things in your heart and your mind you made decisions on, they're not going to be so easy when you're on your own. They're going to be really hard. And you've got to make the decision, am I going to follow through with what I said I would do, or am I going to be ashamed? Am I going to say, no, that's too hard now. It was easy at camp. Thank God for camps. They're a wonderful place where you can be a little bit secluded and a bit separated from all the pressures. But you've got to recognize it's only for a short time. You've got to get back into it. And by God's grace and through his enabling, you will not do it on your own. You'll have to learn to stand in his might. You'll have to learn to stand in his strength. You will not stand on your own. If you've got a good Christian friend who wants to stand, then stand with him. That'll help. I encourage young fellas, find someone you can stand with. But you know something? If you don't find anybody to stand with, then just still stand. Just stand. You've got the Lord. You can stand in his might. You can stand in his strength. And God willing, Lord willing, maybe there'd be another camp. I don't know. Maybe the Lord's going to come back soon. Maybe he's not far away. But if he doesn't come back for a little while and there's opportunity to have another camp, something like this, I'd like to think that those here this week who made decisions were serious and said, by God's grace, I'll be that next camp. I'm going to just walk for the Lord. And you know something? Next week, or next camp, there'd be a campfire, and there'd be those who'd get up and say, you know, 12 months ago, I said this at the campfire, and you know what? It's what I did. By God's grace, that's what I did. I'm not ashamed of Jesus anymore. I used to be a bit shy and a little bit concerned what people think. I don't care what people think now. I just care about Jesus. That's all I care about. And I hope and pray that something that's been said this week, that'll be a help for you. Be a help for you. Take time when you get home, look at your notes. Go through your mind and say, Lord, those things that you showed me, don't let me forget it. These are things that are going to help you through your entire life. You know, these things aren't just for youth. These are for adults. It's for every aspect of the journey, every stage of the journey, you'll need this. Keep it simple. Simple approach. It's a privilege. I'm in debt. I'm ready. And I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you just for this short time in your word. Lord, there's so much more we could look at in that passage. It'd take a long time. But Father, I dare to believe this week has been profitable for you. That there's been at least one young person who said, by God's grace, these things that I've been challenged with, I'm going to continue on. As always, I don't know hearts, but you do. Maybe there's someone this morning who's still struggling and grappling with something. Lord, before they leave the campsite, may they settle it with you. Whatever it may be, maybe it's their salvation. Maybe it's their service. But Father, whatever it would be, we'd ask you to give them the grace, the willingness and strength to continue on this journey, which is an absolute privilege, to be able to live for you. And Lord, may we love you more than anything else so that we might not be ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.